Grace and peace and lots of love to all of you gathered in the name of Jesus the Christ, whom we worship on this fifth Sunday of Easter 2024. We welcome all of those who have gathered in person, and we also welcome our gathered community online each Sunday. My name is Mark McCormick. I am the pastor of the Mayflower Congregational Church, the sanctuary of which is where this service originates here in Lansing, Michigan. I am joined by our worship team, production engineer, Mayflower Choir, and liturgist Wendy Cushion and Deanne McCormick. Reverend Art and Laura are continuing their vacation in Florida. Rachel is on a weekend with her hubby. Dave Banfield, our pastor emeritus, is returning from Arizona even as we speak. And I guess all you got is me today. That'll have to do. I'll tell you, I got a golfing buddy that's just, ready to go. Thank you, Charles. Well, on Palm Sunday, we had a bell number, which will be repeated because it was so much appreciated. Easter Sunday, I made a request, and among many other pieces of music, Barb and Justin sang a beautiful song at the end of the worship service. Then we had Rachel preaching her first sermon here at Mayflower a couple of weeks ago. Jen Hall shared, about 3 weeks ago was Rachel. Jen was 2 weeks ago. Many of you are here for Kelly Hampton as she shared her heartrending story and her parenting journey. And today, once again, it's just me, but there will be a surprise after or right toward the end of the service. Might wonder what that is. At least that might be enough to just get you to stick around for the rest of the service. And then, if you'd like to stay, we're going to have our usual goodies, but there will be a travelogue preview. Some of you have been curious about where in the world and how am I going to get to the Arctic Ocean in a vehicle. Got it all set up back there with Kim's help and Jerry. So you can stay for that as we eat. Anyway, next Sunday is Potluck Sunday. It's once a month. Now, what that means is that if you can and are able, bring food. And if you are going to bring food, bring it by 10:15. Have it here ready so those that are in the Friendship Center can have it prepared. But many of us will not bring food. I don't know if my wife's bringing it or not, but I won't be involved in that, but I will be eating it. So the same for you. You don't have to bring food to partake. In fact, those that do bring food will expect you to be here to consume it. So if you're able, bring food. If not, bring yourself. Well, let's see. You remember the announcement that was made last week concerning pots and pans? That drive goes on. If you have any more questions about that, see Roger Kennedy. Then, 3 weeks from today is a very special Sunday, and several things are happening. Here at Mayflower, our tradition is Music Appreciation Sunday. The last time during this spring season that our choir will be singing, although there'll be lovely music through the summer, but it is Music Appreciation Sunday, and Barb Fuller, our music minister, will have some things to say and some thank yous to offer for those of you who participate in music and those of you who listen every Sunday. It is also Pentecost Sunday. The Paraments and My Stole will be red. If you'd like to wear red on that day, you don't have to, but it will go along with the tradition of Pentecost Sunday, which emphasizes fire of the Spirit, if you're familiar with those scriptures. So that's Pentecost Sunday, and then another very special thing will be happening. 9 folks will be joining our church on that day, so be here if you can to welcome and encourage them on that very special Sunday. And last but not least, if you stick around until the very end, you can just go out in the parking lot and say goodbye to me because I'll be leaving on my sabbatical journey, which will be gone for several weeks. You'll learn more about that today. Today's theme is simple but challenging, having to do with God's love. That sounds like an easy subject. There's some challenges involved. You hear more about that. Our text is 1 John 4, 7 through 21. Let us now worship God.
Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
In four short days, Michigan weather has treated us to what hopefully will be our last hard freeze, followed by a taste of summer we are experiencing this weekend. The weather can remind us all the changes that can happen in our lives over which we have no control. When we come to church, it is good to be reminded of something that never changes. That is the love of God. In our worship today, we will pay particular attention to love, which is divine in its source, is expressed in any action of love, and can be recognized in all creation, and especially in God's most treasured creation, you and me. It is the essence of the beloved community instituted by Christ, God's beloved, and lived out sacrificially as an enduring testimony to the world, and as an example we are compelled to emulate. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, we have entered your house once again, seeking a respite from the troubles of the world. We thank you for the peaceful beauty of the sanctuary and the sense of emotional safety we feel among the beloved community. However, we ask that you would help us not to seek an escape from the world. Rather, we ask you to instill in us the inspiration and the motivation to take the message of God's love to the worlds in which we live, including our families, our work, our neighborhoods, and our community. While we long for protection from all harm, wish for a God who holds everyone accountable, and hope for a reward for our faithfulness, we pray that you would give us courage for the journey by looking for evidence of God's love, not in power, law, or prosperity, but in the self-sacrificing spirit of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Soon I will be done with the troubles of the world. I'm gone to live with God.
Soon I will be done.
I want to meet my Jesus.
If you didn't know, that's Kim Finneson. He's our production engineer and the bass to the choir today. How about that? Barb asked him if he could do it every week. He said, well, if I didn't have so many other things to do, so Kim, thanks. As most of you know, we do not pass offering plates, but we always reserve and have a time in worship where we worship God by the giving of ourselves. There are, if you have been prepared with an offering, there are, of course, receptacles at either entrance to the sanctuary. But when we give, let us remember that the least of these, Jesus' brothers and sisters, are the ones who remain in our thoughts as we give. Let us be reminded to be kind and compassionate to those who are weak, lonely, hungry, and afraid. And now, let us worship God with the giving of our time, our talents, our treasures, and indeed our very selves. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our Lord who loves, we have entered your house where we have been greeted by the beloved community. We've experienced love that flows straight from God. We enjoy the spirit of love and grace that gives us energy, that produces a happy spirit. And yet, Lord, we pray that when we walk out of this room, this sanctuary today, that you would give us that extra sense of courage and compassion to love those that we shall encounter who are not as easy to love as those within the beloved community. Help us to take your command to love one another more seriously. Now, Lord, there are many places around the world, and if we were to pray specifically for all of the needs, we would be here for a long time. We do pray, Lord, that you would bring a remembrance to us as we pray without ceasing for the many needs of the world, and that where we can, we will commit to helping and supporting and caring along with our praying. Now today, Lord, we pray for the needs of our community where brutal violence has taken a big step forward here in the last month. And so we pray for the leaders of our community, Mayor Andy, and all of the police officers who work tirelessly on our behalf, understaffed, and yet do the best they can with our support, our love, and our prayers to bring peace to our community. So we pray for peace, not only around the world, but here in the city of Lansing. May peace prevail in our hearts as we remember one another in our prayers, by way of our thoughts, by way of those who are brought to mind, names of whom we mention now. Lord, be with Mary and many others who need our prayers, even as we pray the prayer we have been taught like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the New Testament book of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. Among many nuggets and insights in today's lectionary passage is embedded a truth that this is often difficult for Christians to comprehend. That insight is this: anywhere there is love, there is God. Hear now these words. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brother or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God love their brothers and sisters also. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. When I chose the lectionary passage today, and sometimes an obscure passage of Scripture, the little books near the end of the New Testament, I thought to myself, as any preacher might, what more could be said about the broad topic of the love of God? And there are times when a preacher feels pretty inadequate to do so, and yet, the love of God is the most inexhaustible subject in all the world. So I'm going to give it a try, and I'll start with music, because music is the love lyric of the soul. So when I did choose a lectionary scripture today about the love of God, I decided to search the Billboard top 100 song list of love songs over the years. Now, I'm not sure how they were measured, but I don't think anyone could guess which song came out number one across the years on the Billboard 100. Anybody? Now, we had a little discussion about this in choir, the time after choir, and I don't know if anybody remembers. So if you happen to remember what I said about what was number one, you just kind of keep it down a little bit here. Anybody have any idea what the number one song, according to the Billboard 100, is? Well, love song in all the world? Well, that's on the top 50, I can tell you that. Any other thoughts? Well, here it is. Endless Love by Diana Ross and Lionel Richie. Can you believe that? You remember that? Okay. Well, some of us older people remember it because it stayed on the charts as number one for a long time back in 1981 when my first son was born. For what it's worth, number two was in 1994. You remember the boys group called Boys to Men? I'll Make Love to You is what that was. My mother didn't like that title. Number three was How Deep Is Your Love by the Bee Gees, that's right. Well, I was curious about some other ones that I remember, and so I looked up Whitney Houston. It was I Will Always Love You was ranked high on the list as well. Now, here's the thing as I searched love songs. Very few of them, if any, according to my relatively scant research, had much, if anything, to do with God as the source of love. Almost all of them had to do with romantic love, albeit in many different forms. So I asked the question to myself, why? Well, romantic love deals universally with the hunger we all have to be valued, cared for, and loved intimately, not for what we can do or how we can perform, but simply for who we are. Unfortunately, romantic love often falls short of that ideal, as much as we sing about it, dream about it, and search for it. Interestingly, there were some notable religious songs on the list that might not deal directly with love. Way back on January 11th, 1960, there was a hit by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir that made the top 100, number one on the top 100 list, and it was the Lord's Prayer, 1960. Other familiar songs that hit the pop chart at different times with various artists were the Battle Hymn of the Republic, songs from the musical Jesus Christ Superstar. You remember when the song was sung, I Don't Know How to Love Him, I think it was. How about the hymn right out of our hymnal that was sung by Cat Stevens? What was it? Morning Has Broken. That was a number one song. Now, to bring it a little more modern, how about Kid Rock? Anybody ever heard of him? Some of us older people have to ask the younger people on this one, but anybody know what... Well, he did several religious songs, but what was his one that hit the top charts? Anybody want to guess on that one? Anybody know? How about Rock and Roll Jesus? When's the last time you listened to that? Maybe we should. And, of course, the one I remember is Judy Collins singing Amazing Grace, which probably comes the closest to a popularly produced religious song having to do with the love of God, which landed on the Billboard 100. Now, in a more negative reference, Gordon Lightfoot's song of something that happened within the borders of the state of Michigan was The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And the question was raised in that song, do you remember? Asking where you would find the love of God in a tragedy which took the lives of 29 men, most of them Michiganders, on November 10th of 1975. It's hard to believe it's been that long ago. Where do we find the love of God in the unimaginable and most unexpected tragic episodes of our lives, or in the lives of loved ones? The answer to this question, while somewhat nebulous, lies within our concept of God. With stunning brevity in today's lectionary passage, the writer tells us what God is and what God is not. Now, here's the thing. We would all like to believe, and we all yearn for a God who can control nature. Pray for rain, or pray for the rain to stop. You know what that means. We all would like to believe that God could prevent sickness and violence. And sometimes we wonder why God does not. And we would all want a God who would protect us from all harm. And in a world of moral confusion, we wish for a God who would lay down the law, hold everyone accountable for their actions, and a God who always catches cheaters and rewards the faithful. Some might hope that God would be a God of prosperity, preached from some pulpits, who promises to make us rich and comfortable if we only obey a few principles. How's that working for us? Whatever may be true or not concerning God's power, the moral order, God's protection, or God's generosity toward us, the writer here avoids all these descriptions of God in favor of a simple Greek word, agape, which means a self-sacrificing love. John tells his hearers and readers how to recognize God, and it is this: to the beloved community, we have seen and testify, he tells us, pointing back to a fresh memory just a few decades before in the witness of the early church when Jesus lived and died. John's message to the early church and to us is this: we only need to look to understand the nature of God. We need not imagine or philosophize, but look. John tells us a truth that we all know, that we cannot see God, but we can see what God has done in Jesus Christ. The faith community to which the writer addresses were part of a community early on, some of whom stood at the foot of the cross and watched the suffering of outstretched love. Perhaps some had helped prepare Jesus' body for burial and might have seen his wounds. Some also doubted, only to have their doubts transformed by the presence of a love which could not, will not, and shall not ever die. Their confession was the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and it is our confession. But I step in to give us a word of caution about our confession, and I simply offer my perspective. We have a confession in the Christian tradition that Jesus is the way to God. And I would remind all of us that there is only one verse in all the Bible and only in one of the four Gospels that describes Jesus as the only way to God. Nonetheless, it is our confession. But there is another hint in this passage that keeps our confession from becoming exclusionary or judgmental. John tells us something that is a little difficult for we to get our heads and arms around, that everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now, I don't intend to answer all of the theological questions that might be raised here or delve into all of its implications. But our judgments about who are in and who are out are diminished and hopefully expunged when we are able to see God and the Christ in all who love. We have been created fearfully and wonderfully in the image of God. Everyone has. And because of the creative work of God, we have been born with the ability to love. All human beings born in all time and all places have the ability to love. That is because God, in the very essence of being, is love. And we can trust God to execute righteousness and loving judgments, because all of God's actions and activity emanates from God's nature, which is love. To place our confession of Jesus as the way to God in perspective, let me simply say to the Christian church, we don't use our belief or confession to judge another's belief, religion, confession, or faith. We'll leave that to God. Our scriptures, beginning with the Old Testament, give us lofty descriptions of the love of God. The psalmist frequently decried and perceived the absence of God and sometimes God's unwillingness to act. Yet they would often pause to reflect on the nature of God as a God of love. While in the wilderness in a dry and thirsty land with no water, the psalmist in Psalm 63 expresses a desire for God in spite of the circumstance, appealing to the love of God by saying this, "Your steadfast love is better than life." In other words, I would rather die with your love than to live without it. When King David committed his most grievous sins of adultery and accomplice to murder, in a plea for forgiveness found in Psalm 51, he appeals to God's steadfast love, and it is given. The prophets would frequently pronounce judgment, then pause and revert to their understanding of the nature of God, which is love. You remember the story of Jonah? After running away from God, the prophet Jonah preached God's judgment upon the people of Nineveh for their wicked ways. Unexpectedly to Jonah, the people repented. He was surprised, and instead of inflicting punishment, God relented. Jonah was not happy that God didn't do what he had said he would do with Jonah. And he became angry with God. And yet, in his anger, we still read in that fourth chapter of Jonah that Jonah was aware and recognized God's nature was, and I quote from the scriptures, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, ready to relent from punishing. Speaking of lament, the book of Lamentations, which is full of lament, the writer laments the circumstances of his homelessness, which he says is like wormwood and gall. Yet in the very next verse calls to mind the hopeful truth that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And that is the source of one of my favorite hymns. Great is thy faithfulness, we sang just a few weeks ago. In the New Testament, who can forget Paul's eloquent rendering of godly love in Romans 8, 37 through 39, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now that's what we can say amen to. That's the simple part. Simple for us. We have our scriptures, our liturgy, our traditions, our music, our Bible studies, our sermons, and our confession. What becomes challenging is how our confession is applied, understood, lived, and carried out. It is important, necessary, and easy to express our love to God in worship. But the text begins with an imperative which pushes hard into our gospel, beyond the niceties and beyond the simple. This is something that I want you to catch. The text does not begin with, "Beloved, let us love God." The text begins rather with the imperative that's more challenging. "Beloved, let us love one another." It is easier within the beloved community to express our love for God than it is to express it to each other. Love is often directed away toward the unknown and the unseen. We more easily express our love for God sometimes than our love for family, friends, colleagues, and especially to those who do not follow certain behavior or lifestyles that we deem acceptable. The imperative in this text is that those who know and love God must love one another well beyond the beloved community. One commentator said this: "It makes no sense whatsoever that a person could love God who is unseen and mysterious when we have each other whom we see every day." So in my musings, I ask the question, why is it we have trouble speaking our love for each other when we speak of it and sing of it every Sunday to God? Now, I'm not a trained psychologist, but as a pastor, I can offer some perspective. In my experience, it is because we have been disappointed by a love we deserved but did not receive, and I'm thinking of parental love that some of us missed out on. Or we have been hurt by a love that betrayed us, or embarrassed by a love which was not returned, and that causes fear of pain, fear of rejection, and fear of punishment. The writer reinforces what we already know about God's love. It is perfect and perfectly expressed in the life of the one whom God has given, Jesus the Christ. The antidote for our difficulties in loving and speaking love to one another is that if God's love is perfect, then our love for each other, as the writer encourages, is being perfected. When we live in and abide in God's love as a purpose for our lives, we can live without fear of how God might respond, but we live with vulnerability and risk. The risk we take to love each other is because of our love for God, who took a great risk for us. Wouldn't it follow that we would take a risk in loving each other? Love will not always be returned, will it? It's one of our fears. If we tell somebody we love them, do we expect them to tell us back? It will not always be received in the way we would like. And sometimes that hurts. And it will not always meet our expectations about the kind of relationship that we would want in a loving relationship. But if the love of God is unconditional toward us, why would we not risk it toward others? So, let us encourage each other to love one another wastefully, with vulnerability, and accepting certain risks. All things begin in love, flow from love, are perfected through love, and return to love. It was God, the writer says, who first loved us, even when we expressed enmity toward God or simply didn't care. Take the risk. Let's ask God to help us begin to forgive the one who is difficult to forgive. With awareness of the forgiving love spoken from the cross, we sing about, talk about, and preach about. Let us ask God to give us the courage to speak and affirm more often what we feel. And here's a good reason. It's because of how we feel when that language is spoken to us. Why would we not return it? We all need to ask God to help us love with a love that transcends differences in nation, religion, gender, all things related, generation, economic, each having rules that defined who is to be included and who is to be excluded in our supposed loving circles. God includes everyone. God's love is universal. God's love is divine. God's love is eternal. God's love is unconditional and visible in Christ. And that is why it's communal. So, listen now to a song which describes in a most poetic way the love of God, which can only compel us to love one another even more.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. If we with ink the ocean fill and o'er the sky of parchment made, wet with every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless, how strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
We have willing volunteers. I've made requests. I try not to make them too often to Deanne and members of the choir and our music minister, but they usually respond kindly. And so with that, you've blessed us today, Deanne. Thanks be to God. Thank you. Sometimes we not only hear that call when we come to church, but we hear it, as the songwriter says, the Lord calling in the night. Let us respond to that with willing hearts as we go. And two things. I'll practice what I preach, but it's the easy part here, folks. I love you, folks. Sometimes it's good just to say it. The other thing is, there's a big part of me that says I'm preaching to the choir. And the choir is all of us. On the other hand, there's room in our hearts for God always to stir it up. Maybe so as we leave. Go in peace. Amen. I'll tell you, just so you know, I miss Art. I miss Rachel. They're out having fun today. And I'm looking forward. Our pastor emeritus, Dave Banfield, is going to be with us some of when I'm gone. But regardless, one more thing you can do today, and that's to be a part of a little preview travelogue that I'm going to share. Some of you respond in interesting ways when I shared with somebody in the last 24 hours what I was going to be doing and what was going to happen in church today, and the fact that I was going to the Arctic Ocean, the response was, you're a crazy man. So if you want to come back and be a part of that craziness, but breaking bread with each other a little bit, having some fun, and enjoying our continuation of worship will happen in the Friendship Center. God bless you all, and I do love you.